And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Crossroads. Crossroads, they are for all of us. And you know, life is really going good for quite some time, and then it happens. It comes as a crossroad, a choice point, where we have to make a decision, and there will be consequences for that decision. And we may ask ourselves, which way now? What will be the consequence of the choice I take? Which way does my heart call? What makes sense? What's God's will in this matter? What is His way? And you know, the answers aren't always easy, are they? And sometimes it can bring us great spiritual turmoil and pain as we consider the crossroad. Sometimes it can bring us to our knees. And other times, it can bring us to our destruction. Oh yeah, I'm sure you're just seething tonight, aren't you? You're just seething because the betrayer is in the room, right? Betrayer. How would you like to have that legacy? Betrayer. You hear Judas Iscariot, and what do you think immediately? Be honest. Betrayer. Now, last week, we had quite a character here, didn't we? King David. Oh, the great king of Israel. Yeah, what a character he is. Oh, and how is David remembered? Greatest king of Israel. Oh, he's a man after God's own heart, right? But did you hear about David? Boy, he wasn't so nice to his neighbor, was he? Commits adultery with her, and he wasn't very nice to his commander of his army, was he? Oh, no, he actually had him sent to the front lines and killed. But how do we remember David? Oh, what a man of great character. And then there's Peter, one of my peers, one of my colleagues. Now, I'll give it to you. You may think denial a little bit when you hear Peter, but be honest. What do you hear most of the time? What do you think when you hear Peter? It's that rock, right? That solid rock. And then there's this guy, Judas Iscariot, right? Yeah. Do you think anything else of me? Betrayer? Nope, that's what you think. Be honest. Well, you know what? Think about what I had to deal with. Think about those other 11 apostles that I was with. They weren't exactly saints either, you know. James and John, what are they? They're even bringing mom into the little discussion. Oh, we're going to talk to Jesus because Jesus is going to make this kingdom on earth, and we're going to sit at Jesus' right and we're going to sit at Jesus' left. And they're even bringing mom in to try and get this done. Do you think they were really all that great a character of people? No, but then Judas Iscariot, betrayer. Well, you know, and fairness, we were together for 3 years. Think about that. A close-knit community, us 12, and some other disciples with us. We followed Jesus. And Jesus, you know, he got us excited. Man, he performed miracles, and we saw the miracles. He had multitudes that were following him, and we were just certain the time was going to come, and he was going to raise up his sword. He was going to call the multitudes, and we were going to be at the front of the lines, and we were going to take care of those ruthless Romans. And he was going to establish his kingdom, and we would get to rule in this kingdom. It was exciting. And then Jesus, he keeps bringing up this thing about death. About death. And you know, Jerusalem, the last place you'd want to go. If you're going to go and defeat the Romans, Jesus does not want to go to Jerusalem. You know what happens there? Generally, it's bad. And they're threatening his life. We saw it many times. He claimed to be the Christ. And what did the church leaders want to do? They wanted to put him to death by stoning. Remember when Lazarus died? What do we have to do? Go back to Jerusalem. And remember, Hey, talk about Thomas. There's another one. You know, we got to remember all my peers here, my colleagues, because they weren't exactly the saints that you may think they were in comparison to me. Remember, Thomas says, well, okay, I guess we'll go to Jerusalem with you, Jesus, and we'll just die with you. Boy, that's exciting. Well, wouldn't you know, Jesus goes, but an incredible thing happened. He brought Lazarus back to life. That doesn't happen every day. And then, of course, that caused all kinds of chaos among the church leaders. What are we going to do now? We got to try not only to kill Jesus, we got to get rid of Lazarus too. And then what does Jesus do? It's the Passover, and he comes back to Jerusalem, of all places. And we're out just outside of Jerusalem, a couple miles east, Bethany, and we're at Simon the leper's house. Did you hear that? Simon the leper. Huh, another miraculous healing. Here we are at Simon's house, and remember, I'm the treasurer. I get to watch over all the money. It's kind of an honorable position for those 3 years. And we go in, and Mary's there with Martha. You wouldn't guess what Mary's doing. She's got this really expensive perfume, a jar of it. Do you know how much this stuff is worth? That jar was worth over a year's wages. And what is she doing with it? Oh, she's pouring it on Jesus' head, pouring it over his body. Then she stoops down and she's pouring it over his feet and wiping his feet with her hair. You know what she was doing? She was anointing his body like he was dead. What's that all about? And this is the one that's going to rise up and he's going to conquer the Romans? You know, I'm thinking now it's not looking so good on our side. Well, then the crossroad comes. The crossroad comes. And I think about the money, how that could have been spent, wasted, just pouring it on Jesus' body. You know, that could have been given to the poor. Well, of course, given to me maybe, right? Well, then we come to the Passover meal. And you know, Jesus did a pretty incredible thing. I mean, do you know how stinky our feet were that night? Stinky. And here's the master, and he stoops down, and you wouldn't believe what he does. He washes all of our feet. The master becomes the servant, and he's washing our feet. Peter didn't want anything to do with it, and then Jesus instructed him, well, you need to do this. And he washed my feet too. The one in my heart that knew where things were going with me. And yet, Jesus washed my feet. The master became the servant. And you know, he called us to do the same. That if we were going to be masters, then the way we carry that out is by being the servant. An incredible lesson, one that I didn't really like hearing myself, but it was pretty incredible. And then, as we're done with that meal, Jesus does something that shocked me. Oh my goodness. You know what happens? We're sitting down and we're eating the Passover meal, and Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. How did he know? Now, I didn't think anybody knew. You know, the chief priests, the elders, the temple guard, the teachers of the law, they're all working together. They want to take Jesus out. And they were talking about this. The rumor was out there. They already had a plan and a scheme. And guess what? I decided, you know what, that's probably a pretty good idea. I think I need to go talk to those guys because where Jesus is going, it doesn't seem like he's going anywhere. And so before the meal, I talked to him. And you know what, me the money guy, I'm not going to do something like that for free. But I asked them how much they'd pay me. And you know what they said? They'd give me 30 coins. And that's worth about 5 weeks' wages. That's not too bad a payment for just pointing out Jesus. And of course, their problem was, we got these big crowds. How in the world are we going to deal with Jesus? If we try to arrest him in the midst of this crowd that's all excited about him being here in Jerusalem, it's going to be riots and chaos. So we got to figure out a way to find him in a quiet place. And I said, I can do that for you. I'm one of the 12. I know where these guys go. I know what their plans are. And we hear that Satan entered into my heart. Oh, I know you're the churchy people here tonight, right? You got your lives all together. Yeah, look at the smiles. Yeah. Nothing wrong in your heart, right? You would never, ever think of betraying Jesus, right? Well, you know what betrayal is? Ever cheat on your taxes? Ever try to get even with somebody because they did something bad to you? Do you think those things are things God wants you to do? No, betrayal is every time that you, the churchy people, because you're looking down on me, the betrayer, every time you know God's will and you intentionally and willfully go against his will, you're betraying the same Jesus. Oh, you're thinking, though, I've never really done anything all that bad. Ah, but what about the things you haven't done? Think about that. The things the Lord has told you to do, and, oh, no, I don't have time today, Jesus, but I might get to it next week. Yeah, how about that? So when you look at me, the betrayer, maybe you want to think about yourself a little bit there. But Jesus, he knows. He knows the heart. I was shocked. He knew. And he announces it to the group, but he did it in a very compassionate way. He didn't point me out. He could have. He could have said, there's Judas and he betrayed me. But Jesus didn't do that. In fact, he's very subtle about it. So subtle that all my peers are there and they're like, who is it? I don't think it's me. Is it you? Who's the one that's the betrayer? And then Peter, he was by John, and John was next to Jesus. So Peter said, you know, John, why don't you ask Jesus who it is? And so John just asked him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus, again, very subtly, he says, the person that I give this morsel of bread to, he's the one. Jesus gives the morsel of bread, and then he said these words, what you are about to do, do quickly. And so I left the room. It was dark. I got out of there. And you know what? My colleagues, they actually thought that I was going to go out and help someone. They thought, because I was the treasurer, Jesus sent me out quickly to get money to help with the feast events that were still coming up. Or they thought maybe I was just going to go out and help some of the poor with the money that we had gathered. They had no clue. And I'm thinking, yes, I'm going to pull this off. And so I knew where they would go. I knew that they would go to the Kidron Valley, just east of the city gate. Oh, what a beautiful place. Go down through the valley, go up on the side of the Mount of Olives, and you know, there's a beautiful olive grove out there, and I know that Jesus likes to go there because we went with him several times, and it's quiet, and it's dark, and guess what? There's no crowds. No crowds. And so I get together, temple guards, and I tell them, you know, it's dark out there. You won't be able to see who Jesus is, but I'll go up and I'll give him a kiss, common greeting of the day, and the one I kiss is Jesus, and you'll know it. And I did it. I pulled it off. I got the temple guards. Jesus and the other 11 are out there in the garden. I come with the temple guards. I go up, I kiss Jesus. And right away, they nab him. They arrest him. And then they drag him off like a dog. You know, suddenly I was beginning to question what I did. In fact, I became very remorseful and I was beside myself. I mean, what do I do? I mean, I thought this was the right thing, but look at how they're treating Jesus. They're condemning him, and I know how great a man this person is. And so I thought, I'm going to run to the church authorities, the leaders, and I know they'll have mercy on me. And so I go to them, and I'm going to make restitution too. I'm going to bring those 30 coins, and I'm going to give them back to them. And I did. Yes, all of them. And then I pleaded for their forgiveness. I said, I have sinned. You know what they said to me? What's that with us? That's your responsibility. That was like a dagger going into my heart. No mercy, no compassion. And the one who was merciful and compassionate, I turned him in. Where do I turn? I don't see any hope in the future. I can't really turn to myself. I can't even look at myself now. Oh, do you think I could go to Jesus? There's no way that Jesus would forgive me. I can't turn to God. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my life. Yeah, King David, he had his bad qualities, didn't he? But guess what? He was a man after God's heart. You know why? Because God called him to be his child. And David trusted God. When Nathan came to him, he trusted that God would forgive him. Peter? Yeah, Peter certainly had his problems, didn't he? Jesus even said to Peter one time, "Get behind me, Satan." That's pretty powerful. And then Peter, in the midst of all this chaos and confusion, denies Jesus three times. We're going to hear from Peter later. But remember, Jesus looked at him. Have you ever thought of the look? I think it was a look of mercy and compassion and love. And Peter knew, he trusted that God would forgive him. Sad that Judas didn't, because God forgave him also. But he refused it, as far as we know. If we say that we have no sin, what does God say? Pardon? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is what? Faithful and just, will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Do you know what the only unforgivable sin is? Refusing the forgiveness that the Lord offers to us. Praise God for the gift of His Son. Praise Jesus for the gift of His life. Because if we look in the mirror, we all have a little Judas Iscariot in us, don't we? Maybe a lot. But we're forgiven. And we can start anew. And God blesses us. In the name of His Son, who loved us so much, He died for us and lives for us. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.